had to have a back surgery in 68. And the doctor said to me, you'll never do a day's physical labor. You better go to college.
I go to college. I just read Jonathan Livingston Siegel, and I really am. I'm not very smart.
I mean, E equals MG squared.
Oh, what?
I know energy. No. Wally Fowler would probably roll over in his grave. That was one of my physics teachers in college. You see, God still had a job for me. And it was taking a long time. I just happened to meet a girl from east of town that went to Dalesburg Baptist Church. And I thought she was pretty cool. I mean, I knew she was really cool. And so I started going to church with her. I mean, you guys wouldn't believe it. Here I'm, honestly, this long-haired guy, who here has about the length of my room? That was probably about Rita's length of her hair. In my hair. Anyway, she had me up front singing with her. We're singing duet. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. We were singing, I mean, I didn't know that heaven was a wonderful place at that time. But I thought that was a pretty wonderful girl. So I'm going to say, yeah, it's a okay. But they spent time moving along, watching me grow, praying over me. Guys like Ed Carlson, Joe Herring, Lester and Don Carlson. Wow. They loved me. And as time went on, I'd go to the 4th Street Mission with people and preach down there, and I came to know Jesus. What a powerful transformation came in my life the day that I was baptized down there when I was around 19. I stood up in front of the baptismal there and they asked me to give my testimony. I stood there and I wept for 2 or 3 minutes. I couldn't say a word. God had really transformed me. But I wasn't done yet. And that's where I want to talk to you today about this. Is where you're at right now. Remember in Genesis where God said to Adam, he goes, Adam, where are you? Well, when I started thinking about what I was going to say a couple weeks ago, I said, Lord, I need something here. I can't just get up there and say a couple verses and be done. And it popped in my mind, Adam, where are you? What it was saying is, Doug, where are you right now? And the question I ask all of you, where are you? Now, God knew where Adam was, didn't he? But he wanted to know, what are you doing? And so, my next step was, I'm going from a senior college to just kind of spinning my wheels. Actually, I was kind of on the fence with a lot of things. I heard a quote by Charlie Kirk. He says, if you're on the fence as a Christian, just realize that Satan owns the fence. Think about that. If you're questioning, well, you know, well, I'm not sure where I'm at. How is it that that old gray-haired guy get up there and talk? I can't do that. I can't get up there and do that. I can't motivate people like that.
That's not my deal. But God says, how do you know? How do you know? You have no idea. The only way that we can know is we need to get into His Word, right? Well, in John, he says, my sheep know my voice. I mean, this is so powerful, but we refuse to look at it in any other way than just saying, I can't do that. That's not part of who I am. I'm not a speaker. I'm not one of those guys that's aggressive. I mean, I've had friends that said, it don't matter where you're at, they're all over people. They're, like I said, they're handing out tracts at stoplights. They're in McDonald's talking to people. This is just how people are, some of them. But little do you know that that's the kind of person you are too. You have just decided that you can't do it. God said you can do it. Do I expect you to come up here next Sunday and give a message? No. Does anybody expect that? Does God expect that? No. But He may lead you to that. Please don't shut the door on what God has planned for you. Think about it. As Arlen read in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to get here. If you go just a little bit further in chapter 2, get down to verse 9, what it says, he says, what no man or what no eye has seen or no ear has heard, nor heard the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't imagine. You know, I hear all this talk about AI. How this is going to change our whole culture. Did you not listen to what Arlen was talking about? It's not about fancy speech. It's not about stuff that man can do. It's about what God is going to do in our lives. And my determination right now is that I am, as long as I am here, ? I am going to try share Christ with anybody and everybody I can. Now the question is, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to put a plug in here for Pastor and his Bible study right now. If you're not involved with it, you should be. Right now, we're in the Old Testament. We're in the Minor Prophets. But think about this. Think about the prophets. Let's just talk about what their job was. Anybody, just give me a second. What was the prophet's job? What was it? You have an answer. What is it? What was the prophet's job? Pardon me? Prophesy, or to tell people what God has told them, right? What am I doing? I'm up here telling you what God has told me to tell you. And that is share me. So when I use the verse, Romans 12:12, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and do what? Pray constantly. How do I rejoice in hope? Where do I get my hope? My hope comes from the Lord. He doesn't always talk to me, but he has given me His Word. Why am I not rejoicing in this daily? Because I really don't know it that well. You know, I got graduated college. I got my degree. I started teaching. I started coaching. Ironically enough, there's people here sitting here that I taught. Don't laugh too hard, Brad. I mean, I get you. But But what you have to understand is that God was still preparing me for what I'm doing today, right now. I'll never forget it. I'm standing in my gym. All of a sudden, a guy comes there and he gives a speech to our students. He was a great storyteller. His name was John Moy, M-O-E. He was a sculptor. He sculptured in stone, and he was a storyteller. And I talked to him for like 3 minutes. He looked at me and he goes, "You need to talk to my people." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because you need to be on the road motivating people." So I called Creative Learning and out in Ohio, and they hired me. And next thing I know, I'm in Columbus, Ohio, talking in some place in Columbus. And I'm giving speeches. I mean, I couldn't believe it. They're paying me to stand up there and talk. And it's like, there's nothing to this, because all I'm telling them is they're wonderful people, and they're the salt of the earth, and blah, 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 blah. You know. And I realized quite quickly that God didn't want me there. I think it was the day that Matthew had to have an emergency appendectomy, and I had a contract to be in Indianapolis, so I had to go there. And God's saying, "I trained you here. I gave you more opportunity to be in front of people. I've made you even more comfortable." But I knew that wasn't what I needed to do. It's easy to motivate people. Just tell them they're good people. Tell a couple stories. Make them laugh, make them cry. But I wasn't talking scripture, because it was an educational deal, so they didn't want to talk about spirituality. So I told him kindly, I've got to be done. And I quit. And I'll have to admit, it was kind of fun doing it, because, yeah, this is crazy. There's an irony here. The Lord has a great sense of humor. He had me speak at a place called Tantera down in the Ozarks. And I got there really late. My speech was the next morning. And so I couldn't go to sleep. It was like about 1 in the morning, 2 o'clock. And so I just walked around the hotel, and there was a big ballroom, and there was a big picture of me in the doorway there. "Your speaker for today," and blah, blah, blah. You know, if my friends would ever read that back in Beersford, they'd start laughing. They go, "Who are you talking about? That's not him." But, okay, so I get out there, and honestly, it's the gifted and talented teachers of Missouri. 1,500 of them. And I stood on the edge of the stage. I looked out at them, and I said, "There's an ironic twist here, folks. You're listening to a guy from nowhere, South Dakota, that flunked third grade, talking to gifted and talented teachers of the state of Missouri. He will put us in places you cannot imagine. He will put you in situations you cannot imagine." Well, when I retired from teaching, and this is the Cliff Notes addition to Doug's life, but as I retired from teaching, then God put me to work. My good friend Brian Hansen was the head of FCA in South Dakota, and I said, "Brian, I need to share Jesus." He goes, "I got a place for you. Drive down to USD. So I went down there, and I walked into the football coach's office, Joe Glenn. I said, "Joe, you don't know me.
I don't know you, but I love you, brother. He looked at me, goes, what? I said, I got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I want to share that with your players and you. He said, come aboard. And all of a sudden, college ministry started to happen. We started with four people at FCA, and we ended up with about 80 every Wednesday night at the chapel. This wasn't me. Come on, you guys. This isn't about some guy that can do it all. I can't, you know. All I can do is open my mouth, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak. Does that mean that you need to go to a college campus or to a college or whatever and start from there? No, it means that you need to open your mouth to your neighbor to give these people life-giving breath. How do I do that? I don't know. What's your experience? Now, when we're talking about the major and the minor prophets, all these guys had a job. And God said, I want you to talk to these people about you're going to be captivated, just endure it. It'll be over. Or you're going to Babylon and you're going to be there for a lot of years, but you keep praising and worshiping me. And I'm going to give you the ability to interpret dreams and have visions. These were all prophets that a lot of times said, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. Jonah goes, I don't want to go. And he goes, you're going. One way or another, you're going. You remember the big fish story. God is going to put you where he wants you. But he's not going to put you necessarily against your will unless you're willing to grow in him. I want you today, the simple message today is grow in him. Grow in him. And the only way that we can grow in him is to get into his word. I'll never forget, I did a workshop for teachers, and this is crazy. My sister Marcia made me an Isaiah robe type thing. And we had about 400 teachers. This was in Pierceford. And I got out there and I had this robe thing on. And everybody's going, this guy is, why'd we hire him? And I told them the story about Isaiah and how he said, send me, Lord. And God said, yeah, but you got to understand, they're going to listen to you. And somehow, it all came together because I'm telling teachers, you have a big job, and most of the people that are sitting in front of you, they don't really care what you got to say. They don't want to listen to you. It's true. In education, kids, I mean, they don't all run to the school door with their books under their hand and saying, I can't wait for math class. But for some reason, it was not some reason, they caught it that day, that workshop. And even though it was an educational workshop, most people caught it. And we used Isaiah as that example. Well, there are so many things that I would like to say and so many quotes that I would like to give you. But I think at this point in our lives, we have to start saying or listening to the question, where are you? I don't care how old you are. The place that we live right now, up and down the block, every person is retired. Our opportunities are beyond what we can imagine. It's just, am I willing to share him? I meet with a bunch of guys on Friday.
The only way that I grow right now is that I'm go to Bible study, or I'm in His Word, or I'm reading. I'm doing something saying, Lord, I want more. I'm an old guy, but I want more. Now my question to you is, do you want more? Do you want to grow in Him in a deeper way? Do you want to be a prophet for Him? Now don't get me wrong. Don't start the, there are no prophets anymore. And I, there's an argument out there. I get all that. But in a sense, we're all prophets. He's talking to us. Pastor John, Pastor Abrams, Pastor Tim Trudeau, you name it, we can go on and on. They all know what they have to do every day because that's who they are. But do you know who you are? You dare to grow. I've never met an athlete or a competitor that doesn't work their fool head off every day. I remember I used to go to the weight room with our football team down at the U, 6 o'clock on a summer morning. Those guys are lifting out there every day. And the funny thing of it is that they put their product out there, and they may only win 3 games a year. And they keep doing it. You know, I saw a quote. I thought it was kind of funny. The quote was, and I think that, which one was it? Boy, hey, look at all this stuff I've written down, and I haven't even touched it. Anyway, Churchill says, success is moving from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm. Did God promise us that we were going to succeed in everything? Well, He did promise to love us. He died for us. He gave us the gift of eternal life. What do I do in return? That was kind of interesting. Paul Washer said, the only thing that I have contributed to my salvation is sin. Amen? I got nothing to do with success. It's all God. All God. So where do we go from here? I'm not asking you to set a resolution for the year. Lose 10 pounds. Fill my lips up with, do whatever. I'm not asking you to do any of that stuff. I'm asking you just to go to His Word. Go to His Word and dare to dig in to His Word. Where do I start? Start with John. Chris and Michelle. John. Work for you. Amen? Amen. We need to take the challenge. We need to continue to move closer to Him. I don't know when the question marks are going to be specific numbers in my life. You know, I did a little, I wasn't a math wizard, but I could figure this one out. In the last 76 years, my heart has beat over 2 billion times. Billion times. Show me a machine that works like that today. 72 beats a minute. Somebody beats an hour. Somebody beats a day. Somebody beats a year. Somebody beats a lifetime. You know, Pete kind of brought it home to me in Psalms last week. My days are numbered. Is it going to be consumed with hours of watching football? By the way, what a game last night. Okay, so anyway, I'll sit there and I'll watch these games for hours. And it just so happened that the team I really like won last night. But more times than not, I just sit there and go, well, there's 3 hours I'll never get back in my life. What are we putting our time into? That's all I'm asking. Do you want to share life with people? Do you want to give them an opportunity to live eternally with Jesus? And it's got to start with you reading His Word and daring to open your mouth. I love the opportunity God has brought me along. And the more I read the Old Testament, the more I realize that there are so many people out there that just does anything just to share the Lord. And I need to be part of that. I pray that something that I've said today has triggered a little bit of interest. Want to be a warrior? Want to change your world? God's Word. That's what this is about. Changing lives for Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt me, mold me, fill me, and use us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and for bringing me along and being so patient. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So if you look in your bulletins, it says we're supposed to be singing one song, but we're going to sing a different one instead. We're going to sing hymn number 389, Spirit of the Living God. Please stand and join me. Right?